With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Tom Bowen resigned at the University of Memphis, and it was abrupt. Even though we thought that a parting would come at some point, even though he had taken a odd 6-month contract extension, right? It was abrupt. And then at the press conference, when asked about it, the president said, basically, we'll refer to this, his statement, and then asked about it again. If he'd been asked to resign, he said, we'll refer to his statement. And it was weird. It was not a normal departure. And so doing what journalists do, the folks at the Daily Memphian said, oh, we had best look into this. And so Clay Bailey, who's the sports editor over there, sent a Freedom of Information Act request to the University of Memphis. And not knowing anything, like just saying, what the heck is behind this, right? And so then 2 days ago, it was answered. And we got a bunch of documents. And the documents showed the following timeline. The document showed that on April 16th, the University of Memphis got a letter. It's not an anonymous letter, but it's anonymous to us because the name of the person who sent it is redacted out. It was included in the letter, but it's redacted. The letter is heavily redacted. It's up at the Daily Memphian site. You can read it. And it's about flirtatious behavior between Bowen and an unnamed individual on a women's basketball road trip. Okay. And if you read the letter, first of all, it's almost impossible to read because it's heavily redacted. Wouldn't you say? You've looked at the
letter. Yes, I have.
I get huge swatches of it.
Yes.
Redacted. Such that it does not even say she.
Correct.
It does not even identify if this is a he or a she.
Correct.
I can tell you it was a she, but it does not even identify that. So it's a heavily redacted letter. And it alleges, what even the letter writer called perhaps petty and innocuous behavior or perhaps whatever, but said basically this could be red flags. And things like Tom Bowen and this person were flirty. Tom Bowen and this person sat together the whole time. Tom Burson sat together on the bus. Tom Bowen and this person sat together during the game. Tom Bowen and this person picked up the room key for Tom Bowen, like that, right?
Yes.
And so that's what it alleged. That's what it said. That's what the letter said. That letter arrived on April 16th. On April 20th, Tom Bowen resigned.
Yes.
We also had documents that show that on April 20th, Tom Bowen resigned. On April 22nd, David Rudd accepted his resignation. And on May 6th, then, David Rudd, the president of the university, sent a letter which is also up at the Daily Memphian, outlining how the separation would happen, told Tom Bowen to clean out his desk in the weekend of May 11th and 12th, that there was to be no need for him to continue serving, that he should return his keys and rental cars, that he would be paid through the summer, and et cetera. So that was actually the weekend before the press conference. That he cleaned out his desk. And then on Tuesday, there was immediately after that weekend, there was a press conference saying that he had stepped down. Okay. So that's what happened. That's the timeline. I'll just take you a little bit behind the veil. We then struggled with, what do you do with this letter?
Correct. A lot of circumstantial stuff there.
What do you do with this letter? Because we certainly could not prove any or corroborate either the details of the letter or what the letter is implying, which is pretty clearly the letter is implying that
an inappropriate relationship.
That there was an inappropriate relationship, right? And we had no independent corroboration of that. more to the point, we didn't have any corroboration that, except for the fact that the letter came in on the 16th and he resigned on the 20th, which is pretty, like, damning, but only circumstantially. Like, he could have gotten a job offer between the 16th and the 20th. So what do we... So we didn't even have any evidence that the letter was connected to his departure. So we decided not to print the letter. We couldn't do it. We were going to print a story that said, by the way, Tom Bowen didn't resign on that Tuesday. He had resigned 3 weeks earlier.
Like, correct.
That's what the story was going to say, because you are responsible when you report these stories. You have
yes.
to. So then what happened, and I'm taking you just a little bit behind the veil to show you what happened, was then we looked back at the actual FOIA request itself, and the FOIA request said it asked for any documents that contributed to Bowen's resignation.
And that letter showed up in those documents.
And when we asked for... documents pertaining to behavior circumstances that may have contributed to Bowen's resignation, that's what we asked for. We didn't just ask, it wasn't his personnel file. We asked for documents that contributed to his resignation. And this is what we got, that letter. So what you have then is an institution saying this letter is at least part of the reason for his resignation. Someone subsequently sent me a email saying, would you publish an if someone sent a letter to the Daily Memphian with uncorroborated allegations, would you publish it? And the answer is, of course not.
No.
No, you go. But if a public
That's
institution points to a letter, if a public institution points to a letter as the reason for the AD's as a resignation, which is what the public institution did, and gives us that letter, we will then absolutely consider the letter to be relevant because the institution is identifying the letter as the reason for his resignation.
Correct.
And that's what we're saying. We actually are not connecting any dots. You can connect dots or not connect dots. If you want to believe that between April 16th and 20th, nothing like the letter came on 16th and he resigned on 20th, it's because he got a job or whatever, that's perfectly, you can believe whatever you want to believe. We're just laying out the timeline. This is what we asked the university, why is he gone? And the university gave us this letter to simplify it.
Correct. You asked for...
The university, by the way, now you might say, did the university... We asked the university for further comment. The university said, we do not comment on personnel matters.
Yes.
So they would not expand on this. We asked Tom Bowen for comment, and through a representative, he gave this comment. On the cusp of me taking a new position, the decision to release a meritless letter that was never presented to me or validated during my tenure as the athletics director at the University of Memphis is dumbfounding to me and hurtful to my wife and children. The innuendos are categorically false, had nothing to do with my resignation, and I would agree with the letter's author that it appears petty. As a trusted leader in college athletics for over 25 years, being transparent has always been critical to my leadership. Thus, it was important for me to openly and honestly respond. And so we then included his response. So there you have it. And that's his response. So I guess there are two questions that arise that I've gotten a lot in response to this. One is, again, why did you print the letter? And the second is, why did the university release the letter? I guess that's the first one. It's like, that's what newspapers, the news outlets do. We had no idea that this existed. We simply filed the Freedom of Information Act requests that one would
correct
file. And then when we asked, why is he gone, essentially, and they said, here's this letter, this is why he's gone, that's why the letter became relevant. If we had just asked for his personnel file and it had been in his personnel file, we actually would not have printed the letter.
Correct.
But when the university says, this is why he's gone, essentially, or this contributes to why he's gone, it therefore becomes relevant. Again, the timeline is letter arrives on the 16th. He resigns on the 20th. So he says that timing is purely coincidental. the university is basically saying, no. By the fact that it's not coincidental. I don't care who you believe. Like, whatever. I'm not here to weigh in on it one way or another. I'm just telling you why we printed it. The second question is, why did the university release the letter?
Big question.
It's not a big question to me. They're obligated to. It's like, to me, one of the most astonishing things to me was that last night, Dan Wolkin, who was in the tank for Tom Bowen, and that's fine. Like, here's the truth. I like Tom Bowen, and I like David Rudd. I'm in the awkward position that I like both of them.
Yeah.
I do understand why they haven't had it.
Sure.
Always the best. Like, they're both strong-minded individuals, and honestly, I think they have both, in their own way, been positive forces for the university. I think you just look at what's happened at the university under David Rudd, and it's almost undeniable that the university has, as the mayor likes to say about the city, the university has momentum.
Yes.
It's undeniable that it has momentum. And I personally get along with David Rudd. I also personally get along with Tom Bowen. I like Tom Bowen, and I would have much preferred never to, if our FOIA had come back with nothing, it sort of makes me sick to think about what his family and whatever is going through. Right. I hate it.
It's not Tom just Bowen, a loss of a job. It's a personal matter, too.
It's horrible. Yeah. And so Tom Bowen was in here. He actually he guest hosted Gary's show.
Yep.
And I did my normal segment with Gary, but I popped in here because we had a great conference. I like Tom Bowen. I used to have a series of lunches once a month with David Rudd and Tom Bowen. And sometimes they both show up. A lot of times just Tom Bowen would show up. And I have immense respect for the job that Tom Bowen did forging the football program over there, even though, I mean, yes, Justin Fuente had a huge amount to do with it, and Mike Norvell had a huge amount to do with it. I have incredible regard for what he has done for the university. So I'm actually, like, I like them both, and I respect them both. But I have very little respect for the idea that you're allowed to, that if you get a Freedom of Information Act request, you're allowed to say, no, we don't want to answer it. You're allowed to not produce documents. And I have very little respect for journalists who would say, when you're answering who advocate ducking a Freedom of Information Act request. The university was presented with a Freedom of Information Act request that said, give us any documents that led to his dismissal. In their counsel's legal judgment, they determined that this led to his dismissal. So what the hell are they supposed to do? Break the law? I don't really understand. I don't understand the argument. Why would the university very clearly is saying, from their perspective, this is what led to his resignation. So under what weird, twisted argument would you say they should not have released it? They are obligated to release it under the Freedom of Information Act. If you're saying, particularly if you're a journalist, saying you shouldn't release things because it's going to make someone look bad, well, how about when you file a Freedom of Information Act request? Maybe about, say, Hugh Freeze.
Correct.
Like, that certainly smeared Hugh Freeze on the way out, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, and Dan filed plenty of those.
Yeah, I believe that they filed plenty of those. They were smearing Hugh Freeze on the way out. If you get a Freedom of Information Act request, you are obligated to fulfill the Freedom of Information Act request. Now, do universities and have universities ducked these things?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's no question that universities find all kinds of reasons not to release stuff all the time. But the issue is why do they do that? The issue is not why, when asked to produce something, they actually do produce something. That's consistent with the law. Now, you can say, Tom Bowen is saying this had nothing to do with it, right?
Correct.
And that's fine for Tom Bowen to say that. The university said, by answering it, this led to his departure.
Correct.
That's what they're saying.
It was a pertinent piece of information.
And they are obligated to repeat that. It's not smearing. It's complying with the law. Now, again, if you read the letter, does it look preposterous? Yes. And now I'm going to take off my journalist hat and just put on my common sense hat.
All right. Okay?
If there was a letter that came in about Tom Bowen alleging flirtatious behavior, and literally there was nothing to it.
Sure.
Do you believe that would have led to his resignation?
100% not.
I don't either. I obviously again, didn't say that in the story because we were
that's not the news.
The story
that's
right
not what
we're
reporting.
People can connect however they want to connect. So yes, they can connect however they want to connect. And by the way, do I believe that there was also underlining all this a not a great relationship? That's between Tom Bowen and David Rudd. Absolutely, I believe that. Absolutely, I believe that. But I'm 100% certain that it was the job of the Daily Memphian once they got that letter and once they realized that it was in response to a request about what led to his departure to print the letter. And I am absolutely 100% I know that it was the responsibility of the University of Memphis to produce that letter. And if other universities in other circumstances have chosen to sit on letters, that doesn't that's the problem. The problem is not with a university that is actually complying with it. So that is my take on that. I feel bad for everybody involved. I talked extensively to Tom Bowen's representative. Clay Bailey bent over backward, to be fair, in writing the story. And it is what it is. You can read it over at thedailymemphian.com. The only folks I don't really have respect for here are journalists who think you should defy Freedom of Information Act requests.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.